Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. Geoff in Lincoln is unable to be with us today. Unfortunately, Geoff had a death in the family. Jeff's wife, Ashley, lost her stepfather, John. And we send our thoughts and prayers to the whole family. And Geoff, very appropriately, of course, is spending the week with family and taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of. So anyway, just lots of thoughts and prayers. Of course, we love our buddy Geoff, and sending love and prayers to the whole family. And so we're missing him today.
Yes.
Matty, anything to add to that?
Just may God rest John's soul. And I know he was a big supporter of the pod, and we were always very appreciative of that. So best to Geoff and his and Ashley and their family, and thoughts and prayers.
Amen. Make sure to get to the Common Fan website, Common Fans, www.commonfan.co. You can sign up for the free newsletter. You can see all the social media accounts, and you can subscribe on YouTube and read the articles, do all the things. So go to commonfan.co. The summer's a good time to sign up. There's going to be a lot going on at the Common Fan Podcast, but it's not football season yet. So, you know, you can kind of, while you're at the pool or the beach or the lake, you can kind of just check the Common Fan website from time to time, see what new articles and episodes might be up there. But you don't have to drill down. We're going to need you focused during football season, Common
right.
Fans. So, you know, get in the habit now of checking it, because we're going to need to increase your focus once football season comes around. So www.commonfan.co. Also, get your Common Fan socks. Go to sillesco.com, sillesco.com. Matteo's holding up the socks for anybody
beautiful
watching on YouTube. You can get 25% off at sillesco.com using the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR number 4, LIFE, GBR for life. And as we've told you before, they don't just sell Common Fan socks at Silly's Co. They sell all kinds of socks. Colorful socks, themed socks, all kinds of stuff. You get 25% off any of those socks using the promo code GBR for life. We've kind of got a smorgasbord of items to discuss.
Yeah.
Matteo, we've got a plethora of items.
A plethora. Yes. I love it. Love the El Guapo reference. Three Guapo amigos. Reference.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's just, as we always say, there's never a shortage of Nebraska news. Right. And that proved to be the case this week as well. Here's where we're going to start, though. Our dear friends at the Big Ten Huddle. So a reminder for the Common Fans out there, the Common Fan Podcast is the Nebraska representative at the College Huddle, which is a great collection of fan-driven podcasts from different college fan bases. And so Big Ten Huddle is associated with College Huddle. Our dear friends, find them on Twitter at the Big Ten Huddle. Our dear friends at the Big Ten Huddle put out a survey. Apparently, they surveyed fans ranking head football coaches by wrestling ability. Okay, should I read them all real quick, Matteo? Should I read all 18?
Yeah, Yeah, okay. I think we should.
They had Brett Bielema.
I was going to say, do we want to start at the top? Start at the top or the bottom?
A good point.
You know, okay. Like a reveal.
I just gave it away, but all right, we'll start at the bottom. Geoff would love this. Punchable face Lincoln Riley is number 18. He's at the bottom of the list.
He's just lanky. He's not going to get a lot of leverage.
I don't know how much he's got the heart of a warrior either. Let's be honest.
Right.
17, Washington coach Jed Fish. 16 is Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. You'll get no argument from the common fans on that one, except maybe he belonged at 17 or 18. 15 is Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. We'll give our analysis after this.
Yeah.
14 is Barry Odom at Purdue. 13, James Franklin at Penn State. Feels a little low for him. 12 is Matt Rhule at Nebraska. I have lots of thoughts on that. 11 is Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, also known on this podcast as Mo Green. The 10 is David Braun from Northwestern. 9 is Ryan Day from Ohio State. 8 is PJ Fleck from Minnesota. Give me a break. 7 is Mike Loxley from Maryland. 6 is Dan Lanning from Oregon. Feels a little high. He's a great coach. Doesn't look like the best wrestler, but who knows? 5 is Luke Fickell from Wisconsin. 4, Greg Schiano from Rutgers. 3, Deshaun Foster from UCLA. 2, Sharon Moore from Michigan. 1, friend of the program. Well, not really friend of the program, but Bert Bielema, who we've talked a lot about on this program, head coach at Illinois. What are your thoughts, Matteo, on this?
Well, I mean, let's start. We'll get into Coach Rhule, but let's start at the top with our buddy Bert.
Yeah.
Bert's a large man. So I think what they gave him the edge for, like, you know, former offensive lineman, large
size.
Fella. It's size. A size thing.
Yeah.
Right. But Bert's not agile. Right. There's other coaches on this list that I think match Bert's tenacity and aggressiveness, but are a little more quick and agile
and athletic and strong. Like if Bert was in shape at one point in his life, that is no longer the case.
No, it is not. Right. It is not the case. So, and furthermore, and, like, I'll go down the list even further. Mike Loxley at 7. Mike's gotten a little older. He's a little more portly than I'm sure he used to be. I mean, you know, again, I'm sure he's tenacious. But, you know, there's other guys here. I mean, Sharon Moore, Deshaun Foster, both seem like they could, and Schiano, for that matter.
Yeah, Schiano is tough as nails.
Yeah.
You know he's tough as nails. You do not want to wrestle Greg Schiano. I can make the case for Schiano at number one.
No. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Fickell's, he's a former offensive lineman. He's slimmed down. A lot of people don't realize that he's a former offensive lineman. I don't know. I think he would get the leverage thing. I don't know.
Quick thought, going back to Bielema at number one, I'm just rereading this. Head football coaches by wrestling ability. It doesn't say anything about it being a tombstone eating contest. I think if it's a tombstone eating contest,
he's got it for sure.
Bert Bielema's number one for sure.
Yeah.
But wrestling ability, I just don't buy that. Here's my thought on Rhule. Okay. Rhule's number 12. He's probably, I would guess, middle of the pack in age when compared to these guys.
Yep.
You know, probably like middle of the pack feels about right for him, but I'm going to argue that he belongs at least in the top half. There's 18 teams in the Big Ten now. I'm going to argue that he belongs in the top nine, somewhere in the top nine. Let me tell you why. This guy was a walk-on at Penn State, okay? And that was Joe Paterno. That was a national championship caliber team that he was on in 1994. Of course, they didn't win the national championship.
No, they did not.
We know people forget the Nebraska Cornhuskers won the national championship in 1994. Well, in case anybody forgot, we'll remind you of that. But so I think Rhule's just got some scrap to him. He's got some fight to him. I would make the case, you know, he definitely belongs ahead of PJ, who's listed at number 8. Yeah. Like, this isn't a used car selling competition. I'm not sure why PJ is in the top half. Your point about, you know, Loxley is a good one. Although I bet Loxley's got more fight than a lot of these guys.
He probably does.
Like Loxley's got he's
you got, if you're gonna be the head football coach at Maryland, you got to have a lot of fight.
Yeah, exactly. And like Lanning's a really good coach. He's building a monster at Oregon. He doesn't have size. He doesn't. I don't know. I'm not sure. I see him in the top six. He's number 6 on this list.
I would
put Rhule ahead of a lot of these guys.
I think David Braun maybe could get moved up a bump or two, and he seems like he'd.
He's a younger guy.
Yeah, younger fella.
Athletic.
Coach Rhule. I think back to Coach Rhule. I think Coach Rhule is sneaky athletic. You know, yeah, like you see him and you're like, oh, I don't know, that guy looks like you. But you, and then you see like the little videos or things from the behind the scenes or whatever the documentary in season thing was that they had. And he'd kind of be mixing it up and he'd run a little bit with the guys. I think he's fairly sneaky athletic. Yeah, I don't know if he's a wrestler, but to your point, walk on, sneaky athleticism, he's too low at 12.
Yeah. Here's what I think for sure. Sharon Moore, Deshaun Foster, and Greg Schiano, those are 2, 3, and 4. Those guys, I think, all belong in the top 5. And yeah. I would probably put them actually as 1, 2, and 3 in some kind of order. Because Moore and Foster are younger guys, athletic. Schiano will just
looks
eat like your face off. Yeah, exactly. and so I think those three are the top three. And then it kind of gets wide open. The Bielema thing is solely based on his size, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of a free-for-all. Again, PJ Fleck doesn't belong in the top half.
No.
I would argue Braun and Rule do. I don't think Landing belongs in the top half. But this is a fun little exercise from our friends.
Yeah, that's good. That's good off-season content right there. Good job.
It sure is. Model. It sure is, Mattio. All right. So, you know, we got through spring ball, Mattio, and kind of thought that at least be quiet for a week. But of course it's not. Mm-hmm. Right. No. Of course it's not. So Scott Frost gave an interview. By the way, Frost's contract numbers are out. This episode will air Monday. We're recording the week before, though. So his contract numbers came out this week. So as of this, once you're listening to this recording, it'll be last week. I think it was a 5-year, $22 million deal. So about $4.5 million a year, just under that. So, but I bring up Frost because he gave an interview to ESPN. And he talked about how much he loves coming to UCF, coming to work every day. He loves being back. And he has this quote, "We get to practice with palm trees and sunshine and we're playing big time football, but it's also just not the constant stress of the meat grinder of some other places," end quote. And then the author, not Frost, says meat grinder of some other places, that's in italics. Might he mean a place such as Nebraska? Clearly he put that question to Frost because then now in quotes again, "You can think what you want," Frost said. "One thing I told myself, I'm never going to talk about that. It just doesn't feel good to talk about. I'll get asked 100 questions. This is about UCF. I just don't have anything to say." I assume he means anything to say about Nebraska. A little further down in the article, friend of the program, Josh Peterson, tweeted a screenshot of this part of the article. He talks about how he was so happy at UCF before. "I had always told myself I wasn't going to leave here unless there was a place that you can legitimately go and win a national championship. It was a tough decision because I didn't want to leave regardless of which place it was." Indeed, Frost maintains he was always happy at UCF, but he also knew returning to Nebraska would make others happy too. Quote, "I think I kind of knew that wasn't best for me. It was what some other people wanted me to do to some degree," end quote. What do you think about this, Mattio?
Well, my initial like gut reaction is it pisses me off. I just don't get, like, Scott makes it seem like he didn't want to do it, but he had no other choice. Like there's a gun to his head.
Yep.
And somebody's saying, if you don't go back to Nebraska, you're dead. I don't know what that's all about. And maybe there's things we don't know, but it just seems like he doesn't want to own up to that. He just didn't do good enough here.
Yeah.
And he's like making excuses. Or not even making excuses. He just flat out refuses to talk about, which I don't, you know, the way I was raised is you own up to your mistakes and you're okay to talk about it. It's not something like I don't get that part of why he doesn't want to talk about it and all that. And then he's making these like, kind of like, I don't know, side jabs at Nebraska. And I just don't see why it's necessary.
Yeah. And it reminded me, it was earlier this year, I think maybe when he got the UCF job, I think it was one of those first press conferences when he got the UCF job and he made that other comment about that other place I was at. Like he can't even say the word Nebraska, right? Yeah. And I've talked about this before. We've talked about this. I know, like you look at Twitter comments, some Husker fans, many Husker fans feel very harshly toward him. And I'm just not in that camp. And I'm sorry if that pisses you off. And I respect people who do feel that way and feel that anger because he never lived up to expectations in Lincoln. But it is complicated. Like I've told, this is the example I used before. Ever since he started coaching, like I knew when he was a wide receivers coach for Chip Kelly at Oregon, then he's their offensive coordinator. He's one of the hot coordinator names. Then he gets the job at UCF. I remember like suddenly I was very interested in how UCF did in football. Right. And then of course it all came together and he came to Nebraska and it seemed so like, and, but now I find myself seeing a headline about, it doesn't have to be related to Nebraska and I want him to do well. I find myself wanting him to do well there. Like I have mixed feelings. I'm very frustrated with how it went and some, but so anyway, I'm just saying like, I am torn on this. He's a Husker legend as a player. Those were prime teenage years for us, Matty. Yeah. It was 94, 95, 97. I think we were like 12, 13 and 15, which is like the perfect years to be experiencing your college football team being great. So it's just hard for me to like separate the Husker legend that he is from everything else. But I just find myself saying like, would it be so hard? Like it comes across like one, he had, like you said, like he was forced to do it. Two, he didn't really want to do it. And three, the results were somehow outside of his control.
Right.
Right. Like that's how it comes across. It comes across like he doesn't want to own up to it or take any responsibility for it. And I think the other thing is it comes across like he's bitter about it. And it's like, maybe he's going to live in Orlando and raise his kids in Orlando and never, ever set foot in the state again. And so maybe this is a Husker fan problem more than it's anything else. Like maybe he's just done and like, that's it. And he doesn't feel like he needs to explain it to anyone. I just find myself like, would it be so hard to say, hey, I love Nebraska. I grew up there. I'm so proud to be the starting quarterback of the last national championship team at Nebraska. It didn't get it done when I was there. And I have to own that. Like I own that. We were close. I feel like a couple things go our way, you know, whatever you can couch it. You can try to explain yourself. You can even make excuses if you want to and just acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing that happened.
I think for me and thousands of other Husker fans who are angry about it, it's exactly that. If he were to come out and say, listen, it's my alma mater. I really wanted to make it work. He would say, I wanted it to work. He hasn't even said that. Yes. And we didn't do well enough and own it now and then say, I don't really want to talk about it. Other than that, I would completely understand. Yes.
Exactly.
It's the delivery and let's be real here. Let's be genuine and real. This is the Common Fan podcast. Okay. The guy has always, to me, been a bit abrasive and a bit awkward in those settings. Okay. It's either the bravado or it's the coach speak, right? It's like I'm uber confident to the point of cockiness, or I'm deflecting and I'm just using coach speak and we're almost there and we had our best practice of the season and all that. That's why, you know, you contrast that with the guy that we have now in Coach Rhule, and it's almost night and day. Like you've got a guy that is made for the podium versus a guy that was clearly uncomfortable, at least here. But then that's the other thing that I don't understand. He seems so much happier, more comfortable there. Right, it's almost like a different guy. It's bizarre to me. Yes. It's so bizarre. And again, if we're going to be real about this, this is a guy that from out of high school in Wood River has taken a different path than most, right? You know, it's like there's always kind of like something. So, you know, first goes to Stanford, and then, you know, then he transfers back here. And then I know he got the crap kicked out of him, which earned my respect and a lot of others, you know, coming back, taking a beating in practice, and then, you know, eventually winning a national championship. But he's always had something that just seems like a chip on his shoulder, or it seems like he feels the need to deflect or make excuses or not own up to these things. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird to me.
Yeah. And I think you're trying to see things from his perspective, like, okay, how many kids out of a small town in middle America get the chance to go to Stanford, right? He went to Stanford, played for Bill Walsh, one of the greatest academic institutions on the planet. Pretty good at football too. Didn't work out, came back home. Like we all know that he got booed on the field. Like there were ups and downs of that experience, but it ended on a very high note.
Yeah.
Right? With that national championship. And he was beloved as a player by the end. And there's a lot of backstory.
He earned it.
Yeah. There's a lot of other backstory there. We're not going to get into all that. But I think like he left with his reputation in good shape when he left Nebraska, brought another national championship, great player, all those things, right? Again, I think many Husker fans like me followed the coaching career. And then, you know, then he comes here and it doesn't work out. And like that shocked, probably shocked him as much as it shocks everybody else. Right. So I like, like you said, there's probably more to the story. I can understand how it's hard. I can understand how you might not want to go there, but I think going back to the point about the bitterness, everybody wanted you to succeed here.
Yeah.
Like the entire state, the entire fan base was behind you. Right. And so maybe like he sees Twitter comments, which are not always charitable nowadays. Right. And there were lots of rumors and about his personal life, some of which undoubtedly are probably not true. Right. Everybody thinks they know. Very few people actually know. Right. And so we're not going to go like we don't know. No. But like almost certainly some of the stuff that gets thrown out there, probably not true. Right. So that probably all wears on a guy. I totally get that. But let's be clear. From the day he walked up, the day he walked up in that gray suit and the tennis shoes and the red tie, and all those former players were there, and he said, "Come help me build this." Like the entire state, the entire fraternity of former players, the entire everything was behind him, right? And so it's just frustrating as all heck.
Yeah. Yeah. But he can't act like nobody was behind him. I mean, maybe in behind the scenes, the administration, maybe there were some issues there, but yeah, everybody wanted it to work. To your point that you've made countless times, we all wanted it to work. It seemed like a storybook, right? So yeah, it's just, and for the record, once football starts being played and he's in a game coaching UCF and then I pop the game on, I'm going to be rooting for him. Like, yeah, it's annoying and it's pisses me off the way it's, you know, the way he's, you know, not talked about Nebraska or the way that he has or taking these side jabs, but it's just in Husker fans' nature to be like, hey, once a Husker, always a Husker, I think. To just say, I'd rather have him win than whoever, you know, whoever he's playing against. And somebody was saying they play North Carolina, Bill Belichick. See, I'll be rooting for Scott Frost against Bill Belichick. You know, yeah, and there's a number of other coaches that are like, I'd rather have Frost win than that guy. So yeah. I'll still be rooting for him, but with still a little bit of the thorn in the paw, TJ.
Yeah. Well, and it's, and I think like I went reading this whole article, I saw when Peterson tweeted this snippet from the article, read the whole article. Like it's not overly egregious, you know, like, I mean, Husker fans definitely are on high alert and highly sensitive about any of this conversation. Right. But it is, it's just like, just say, you know, like when Pelini went on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast after he got fired by Nebraska, went to Youngstown State for several years. And then he was LSU's defensive coordinator. And I remember when he got that LSU job, I remember thinking this is kind of his entree back into big time college football. And I wonder if he thinks of it as a step toward another head coaching job. And it went poorly for Bo.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
As LSU's defensive coordinator, I think he got fired after 1 year, if I recall correctly. And Bo said, you guys know me. We didn't get it done. And so like, You don't have to say it like Bo. Bo's a one of a kind, right? Bo's unique. Yeah. But again, like I grew up in Nebraska. I played there. I'm so proud of the national championship we won there. I was proud to go back. I feel like, yeah, he probably had pressure from his dad. He probably had pressure from Tom Osborne. Like that's probably what he's talking about. Former players, lots of like, he probably felt like he had to take the job.
Matt Davison, probably.
Don't tell me there wasn't part of you that didn't want that job. Don't tell me that. I don't believe that.
He didn't have to do it. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's a grown man Like he could have said, right. You know what? No, we just had a great season here at UCF. I want to keep it, stay here and see what we can do.
This you know, isn't he Russia.
Didn't have
this,
to do it.
This isn't Russia. Is it, Danny? It's not Russia.
It's not Russia.
All right. I have a feeling this is not going to be the last time we talk about Scott Frost on this podcast.
No, it's just, you know, it's, he's got that effect on us, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to another potential disrespect of Nebraska football just this week, or for those who are listening.
When we need like a Rodney Dangerfield, I get no respect or something like that.
We need sound effects here.
Yeah.
I love this. I love that Michigan decides to try to slap their own wrist. Okay.
Right.
Here's from ESPN.
We're going to punish ourselves. We're going to punish ourselves.
We got an NCAA.
Dad, listen, I know I messed up. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to punish myself.
Yeah. We got an NCAA. You don't have to, you don't have to look over here. You don't have to suspend anybody. We'll take care of it. From ESPN, Michigan football coach Sharon Moore is expected to be suspended for 2 games for the upcoming 2025 season as part of a self-imposed sanctions by the university for the Connor Stallions scandal. You know, Connor Stallions, that guy who helped steal signs and broke all kinds of rules that helped Michigan win 2 national championships back to back. Anybody remember that? Yeah, that whole thing.
Espionage.
Here's where it gets interesting. And of course, Nebraska's in the middle of it because we always are.
Of course.
The suspensions will be for Michigan's Week 3 and Week 4 games. Week 3 is against Central Michigan. Week 4 is against, you guessed it, the University of Nebraska. Moore will also be barred from any team-related duties during those weeks and will receive additional recruiting-related penalties. The NCAA can still punish Moore in addition to the self-imposed school penalties. A final resolution is expected before the start of the season. So more to come on this. We'll see how it plays out. But like, what is Michigan like? Let's see. We need him for the Oklahoma game. They play Oklahoma in Game 2. We need him for the Oklahoma game, and we don't want him to miss the first game of the year. Nebraska. Let's have Nebraska be the conference game that we pick because we'll probably beat those guys. Is this a sign of disrespect, or is there like, could there be more to it? Maybe like they wanted to pick at least one conference game to make it feel meaningful. And so they said, let's just get it out of the way with the first conference game of the year. Like there could be other explanations, but like, what do you think about this?
I thought it was when I first saw this on Monday and sent it to you, I initially thought, well, why didn't they just do the first 2 games, you know, and do that. Week 3 and 4 seems like a weird time to do it. And then the other part was, why back-to-back games? Why not do one, you know, Week 1 and then Week 3, or Week 1 and Week 6, you know? So that part was weird. So it feels a little bit like, hey, let's pick these two. Like you said, you know, it's one non-con. And then the other interesting part is, and I didn't know this until this story came out, Sharon Moore is an Oklahoma alum. So that could be part of it too. Like they, you know, when are they going to play Oklahoma and Norman? So I think that's part of it. They're like, you know, let's let him coach in Norman. We'll have him coach the season opener. Cause that would be a, you know, I don't know. Season opener, you think, is that a bad look? Is it going to be, you know, there's not a lot going on Week 1. Is it going to be too big of a story on game day and all that in Week 1? So maybe that's part. I don't know. But I did initially was like, oh, that's a slap in the face because they you know, if they could pick any of these games and ours is one of them, it kind of feels like, you know, the fanatic part of you feels like, oh, they think they can beat us without him. That's what they're doing.
Right.
That's what you can't help but go there a little bit and think like, yeah, they're disrespecting us because they think they can win without their head coach.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting. And then it's going to end up being a big story that week too. Right. Like it's not going to be like you're talking game prep or you're,
that's a good point. That's going to be annoying. That's going to be annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's going to, and then the really gross part, and this is what GF would bring up. I'll bring this up in absentia for Jeff, is he would say something like, well, it would be just really our style to lose to Michigan without their head coach. So I'm not saying that will happen, but that's something Jeff maybe would bring up.
Yep.
But we cannot let that happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's a really good point, Matty O. If this holds, like maybe the NCAA will be like, you are suspended for 10 games in 2026 or something. I don't like, you know, like who knows if this holds, that will dominate the conversation and it'll be super annoying and it won't be about whatever Michigan did the first 3 weeks, and it won't be about whatever Nebraska did the first 3 weeks. Like, that will be what keeps coming up. Even on Nebraska's, like, when we're playing Cincinnati, that will come up, you know, like it's just annoying. But you know, Michigan's never dealt with Matt Rhule in year three, Mattio.
No, they
haven't. I don't think they know what they're dealing with here. They don't know what they're doing with Matt. They got, you know, they beat Nebraska before. They got Matt Rhule in year one. They've never dealt with year three Matt Rhule.
No, year three Matt Rhule is something else.
Yeah. I just love that they're like, hey, remember that whole scandal that rocked all of college football where we totally cheated and they like cheated our way to two national championships where before we started stealing those signs, we weren't as good. And then after we were stealing the signs, we were really not as good. But those 3 years we were stealing signs, wasn't it like really they won back to back, but didn't they make the playoff the year before or something? Like those like 3 years we were stealing signs, whatever it was, we were like really, really good. Remember that whole scandal where we cheated really bad?
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're just going to suspend our coach for a couple of games. Don't worry. We got it. One's against Central Michigan, who we'll definitely beat. And then we think we can beat Nebraska. So we got that one too. Like it just vomit. Like it's just disgusting to me.
Are they still, is this still under any type of like NCAA, like official investigation, or is this all like,
well, supposedly I don't know. Supposedly the NCAA is still going to rule on some sort of punishment or whatever. And Moore was the offensive coordinator at the time and supposedly deleted a bunch of text messages.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is like for his role. I think it's for his role in particular. I don't know where it stands on like the broader Michigan program. I've always thought it was weird that you would make current players pay. Like, I understand you're punishing the university, but if you say like no bowl game for 2 years or 4 years, or you reduce the amount of scholarships, you're removing opportunities from young men who weren't involved.
Not involved. Scandal, right.
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 So I think the better punishment is to strip the wins, strip the titles from those teams. Right. But that never happens.
No. No, it's like the Penn State thing years back with the Paterno Sandusky stuff and how they penalized Penn State, and those players had nothing to do with anything. And yeah. I mean, credit to them for sticking around and fighting through and playing, but you know, I agree with you there. The Michigan players didn't do anything. I mean, there might be a few guys in there that were a part of a couple of those teams, but you know, wasn't there plotting and what was it? There wasn't their manifesto, TJ. Didn't Connor Stallions have like a manifesto or something? I remember.
Well, it was like, yeah, it was all, he had this like multi hundreds of pages book that was like as he prepared to be Michigan's head coach someday, which
I mean, on a certain level, I kind of respect. I respect the fanaticism.
I respect that part. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I could
totally see a Nebraska fan writing a manifesto on how like Nebraska gets back to like the peak of college football. So that part of it of like, I don't know, obsessed. Because really, let's face it, Connor Stallions is really just a really obsessed fan that had like an in with the football team and got kind of hooked up with his gig. Is everything that I've heard. And maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know how much of a background.
He's going to be Michigan's head coach someday. Okay.
Oh, I love that. Wouldn't that be something?
History is showing.
We wear a different disguise every game.
Anything is possible. That's
like the Groucho Marx on the sideline.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right. Well, we'll see. More to come. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we talked about it in our three games that will define the season episode. Michigan's a big one. Like, I don't care if Sharon Moore is there or not. I don't care what's going on. Yeah,
I don't care if Mary Tyler Moore. We got to win that game.
Great dad joke. that's a huge one for the Huskers. And so hopefully we come rolling into it with a head of steam. It's in Lincoln. Hopefully we're 3-0 and just more to come, all this other nonsense. You know who's not worried about suspensions and violations? Matt Rhule and the University of Nebraska.
That's right.
That's who's not worried about that stuff.
That's right.
Okay.
All business.
Couple more things in our news-filled week. Nebraska has their quarterback for the 2027 class.
Yes.
Trey Taylor, the number 7 QB in 2027, in the 2027 class, committed to Nebraska. He was the first commit of the 2027 class. It sounds like, based on social media posts and other conversations, he's already actively recruiting other guys for that class. You love to see it when that happens.
Love that.
So it seems like he's all in for the Huskers. But the funny thing was, this kid, I don't know if you watched that video or saw the video, but he had hats on the table. I think he had about three or four hats on the table. And two of them, one was Illinois, one was Nebraska, and then a couple others. And he kind of throws one, throws the next one, and then he grabs the Illinois hat and he puts it on and he stands up and he says, I'm going to be staying home and going to Illinois. And I assume it's his parents sitting on either side of him. His mom has kind of this confused look on her face or whatever. And he kind of lets it linger for a second or a few seconds. And then he takes it off and throws it. He's like, I'm going to Nebraska. And he puts the Nebraska hat on. He says he's going to Nebraska. And then everybody, it wasn't just his parents. There was a bunch of people behind him. They all unzipped and had Nebraska shirts on. So I think that's why they were like, wait, what's going on here? So he just played a little joke. Now, to their credit, I feel like kids have done much worse.
Yeah.
Kind of whatever. But, I get a Husker fan would be frustrated by that. So his dad talked to him. His dad made him apologize. Then his dad put something on Twitter. Then the kid himself apologized. So they're owning up. Talk about owning up to it. Early lessons of, early important lessons. They're owning up to it. And everyone's moved on, I think. But, you have to wonder if, Bert Bielema and the staff were gathered together to watch the announcement, maybe put a couple of tombstones in the oven at Fake Memorial Stadium.
I knew you were going to go there.
And we're having some tombstones together, watching the announcement, jumping up and down with the exciting announcement, only to see, boom, he's going to Nebraska instead.
Yeah. I think that's a fun picture that you just painted, but I think they probably knew he was going to Nebraska. I would like to think he did them the courtesy of telling them ahead of time, but maybe not. And the theatrics of those verbal commitments, have they jumped the shark a little bit? I don't know. It just I get it. It's let the kids have fun. So part of me says that, you've got 30 schools that want you to come play there. It's kind of fun that you get to make your announcement, but I don't think you got to do the old switcheroo anymore. Seems like it. There's too much backlash, and I did see. I didn't know that happened. I did see somehow in the Twitter algorithm or X algorithm, whatever. I did see a tweet or two from Illinois fans about, and didn't even reference him, but I could tell. And I thought they were just salty that he chose Nebraska. I didn't, and now it makes sense a little bit more. Yeah. Because he did the old switcheroo with the hats, so maybe they're just feeling a little bit butthurt, I think.
Yeah. So, I'll be honest, I still have subscriptions to Rivals and On3. I have subscriptions to both those. And of course, the World Herald Husker Extra. It's actually both the World Herald and Journal Star Sports sections, Husker Extra together.
Oh, yeah, I got that one too.
I used to follow recruiting more than I do now.
Same.
I'll be honest. I think as kids have gotten older, it just gets harder. And then also now that we have this podcast that we put a lot of time into, I read as much Husker news as I can. I suppose the thing that falls through the cracks is recruiting.
Yeah.
So I used to, I'll read the On3 guys, Sean Callahan and those guys, the Husker Online guys, they do a Friday tunnel talk most weeks. And so I'll read through that and I'll read their weekly rundown. And I read the Rivals guys do a great job too. Zach Carpenter, friend of the program. But I used to know who was in play and who we were targeting and the Riley Calabrasca movement and all these different things. And now you can kind of keep up on the main stuff just by following on social media anyway.
Yeah.
But I just cannot keep track of who we talked to at a camp in June in Phoenix or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Who the staff talked to at a 7-on-7 camp, in Clearwater, Florida, in February or something.
So
to your question, I assume, and I somewhat we've seen some of this, I assume that everything is worse than ever when it comes to the ridiculous videos and it was starting that way 5-10 years ago, even the announcement videos that are professionally produced, and now these kids can start making money and getting deals and having agents and God knows whatever else. So I assume all that is worse than ever. I usually I feel like you too, probably I usually, if the Huskers are in the mix for a transfer at a position of need, or they're a finalist and the kid's making his decision next week and he's announced what time he's going to be announcing and all that, then usually I'm like, oh yeah, so-and-so is supposed to commit today. Let me check Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm usually that informed to that level, but I'm not as in depth as I used to be.
Right. You know, I'm the same, you might see a Sean Callahan tweet or Zach Carpenter or somebody, and so-and-so four-star defensive end is narrowed his, choices down to his top five or whatever. I see those types of things. I'm definitely not seeking out, our big board of who we've got targeted or anything like that.
I'll tell you another reason why Matty O is because it feels more fluid and less concrete than ever. So right. There have been decommitments for a long time. So you could commit, but you don't sign until signing day, and you can decommit anytime before signing day. Mm-hmm. But now also with the transfer portal, it feels like it doesn't matter as much, right? Like, you kind of fall back to, as a fan, you fall back to, I'm going to wait till this kid shows up in Lincoln. Every year, inevitably, it seems like one or two kids just doesn't show up. Maybe not every year, but like, that's not uncommon. And I'm just going to wait until they put the ball out there, and I'm going to wait and see what these kids can do on the field, right? Like Ja'Cory Barney. Barney was I think a big name out of, a big get out of the Husker class, but like no one knew for sure until he started producing on the field. Right. So I'm going to trust that there's going to be 11 guys out there who can do the job come September. And if some of them are true freshmen that were great recruit gets, then we'll celebrate it. That's great. But it all feels less, like I said, less concrete and more fluid than ever.
Right. Right. And that's it. And that's kind of where I'm with you there too. It's one of those things. You really want to see and wait till really for me, fall camp. I think when fall camp starts, you look, okay, here's who we have on the team. Here's who's on the roster. And you can, and until then, who really knows? I mean, I think it's going to be like that every single year, especially with the portal. But the recruiting interest does get peaked now with the early signing day. I think it's even better because you're still like football's really fresh on the brain.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. Yeah,
the December signing day. Almost all the guys are signing early now.
Yep.
So it's different. It's just different than the old way where it's like you're waiting for the first Wednesday in February. Right. And you've had almost a month since the national championship game. The football isn't as fresh on the brain as it is now, where like the majority of guys, 90-some percent probably, are signing on in December. So that's when I really start like, okay, now who do we got in our class? Right. Yep. What are we looking at? What are the needs? Yeah. Who did we get? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, in December, it's a nice hit. Dopamine or whatever that stuff, whatever it is, like you haven't had, games for a few weeks, but you're still kind of in bowl season. You're still like totally plugged. Like you said, hopefully if your team is worth a damn, hopefully they haven't played a bowl game yet, but you're waiting on that bowl game, but it's been almost a month. So you're right. Like that. And that's definitely when I plug in a little bit more and drill down on who's coming in the class kind of thing.
But it's exciting that we got a kid like that. That's that highly touted. I'm sure I haven't seen any film on him yet or anything. But to be that highly rated, you got to think he can play some ball.
Well, I saw somebody, I think it was friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota, commented that he listened to a podcast of one of the Rivals guys who suggested he could be borderline a five-star. Like he could be getting that extra star. He's a four-star right now. Okay. So that would be pretty sweet.
It would be. And it's good. It's good to have a lot of guys in the room.
That's right. That's right. This is funny. You're going to get a kick out of this, Matty O. We are recording this again. As common fans know, we record in advance. We're recording this shortly after the new Pope was selected. Just got a text from one of our mutual friends, Matty O. ABC News just said that the new Pope is a known Cubs fan. And the follow-up comment was, quote, "So he's well acquainted with suffering." I could say that as a Cubs fan. Okay. I could share that joke.
Can I say that?
No, you're not allowed to say that because the Chicago Cubs are currently in first place by three.
They are. But you did suffer for a really long time. And it's so cute that they kept trying.
Yeah. No. Who has a more recent World Series? I'm just curious. The Chicago Cubs or the
Cubs? The Cubs do. The Cubs do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, Cardinals have more. It's all right.
All right. Anything else to add, Matty? Oh, that was a That was a smorgasbord, as we said at the beginning.
That was fun. It felt like
I didn't expect to have this much to talk about this first here in early May, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. There, like you said, there's always something, you know. Yep. And and these stories in the off season just feel a little bit bigger than they would, you know, closer to the season or even in the season. You know, yeah. Some of this probably would you just not even talk about if this happened in August or September or October. But it's fun. It's fun to have these things going on.
It is. It is. And we're marching toward football season.
Baby. We are. Another week closer.
That's right. That's right. All right, Common fans. Thanks for hanging with us once again. Once again, shout out, love, thoughts, and prayers to Geoff and Lincoln and his family. He'll be back with us for the next episode. But in the meantime, lots of love and prayers for those guys. Thanks for hanging with us as always, Common fans. We will be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.